I think I'm holding in the same place I was before Pesach that last time. The last time I skipped a lot. I mean, all these Chachamim did on their own. Kamat. We'll see. I'm not going to try. I'm going to try to do as much as I could. No. Okay. Well, they had a gala today and last week, and I gave you books and rock, and I was guys today. On my website, there's 25 shiurim on Facebook. Not 25, maybe 6, I don't know. Well, some good ones. There's three on the gala that were given here last year. There's one on Chilas Matzah. There's a whole bunch. Okay. We are in middle of Perek. Yud Aleph. Pasuk Zayin. Pasuk Zayin. So we talked about over here, we had hidden Yayash in when he was a little kid in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Beis HaMikdash here, his sister went and hid him in the Beis HaMikdash, his aunt went and hid him in the Beis HaMikdash, and now came the time Yayada Akayin decided it's time to crown him as the king. And he got together the Sari Hameis, and he split them into three groups, and some of them will stay with the king, some of them will be by the Shar Sur, the other ones will be by the next Shar, the Acha Haratzim. Actually, we went further than that, I think. And in Pasuk Ches, he said, V'kaftam al amal sabiv ish v'kelo v'yodai, he said, you'll surround the king. Anyone who comes into the shteris means the circle that surrounds the king, the circle of the soldiers. Anyone who tries to penetrate and go into the inside of the circle will be killed. And those that are surrounding him will be with the king going out and going in. They did it, the pasuk test we said, and he gave them the weapons. The Rotzim, each person with Kalev Biyadai, meaning with his weapons, stood from one side of the Beis HaMikdash, the right side, all the way to the left side. And they surrounded, made a wall surrounding the king of soldiers. By Yoiti is Ben HaMelech, so then they brought out the Ben HaMelech, which is now becoming the king. By Yitin Alav is HaNezer, and they put on him the crown. Ves HaEdus, and the Edus. What's the Edus? Rashi tells us, Sefer HaTorah. The king in Parsha Shoftim, it says, V'hoysa imay v'kara v'kaya mechayev. A king has to walk around with the Sefer Torah, a small Sefer Torah, and he walks around with it, kol yamechayev. So, if he's becoming a king, you give him a crown and you give him his Sefer Torah. Chazal tell us, Edus is, because there was a special crown, that it itself was the Edus if you're right to be the Melech. Because only someone who's right to be the Melech from Mishpachas, Beis David, the crown would fit on his head. In fact, what it was, it was a crown that had a bar across the middle. Right? So if you try to put on a crown that has a bar across the middle, it's not going to fit on your head. The bar is going to be in the way. But if you have a groove in your head, al pi neis, obviously, that the crown will then be able to fit in, so then it will fit. So that would be the edus that he is really the king. That's why by Adon Yo, when he tried to take over the Malchus, he tried to put it on, Chazal tell us, and it did not work. So he figured out eights around that, obviously. He tries to say that it's not a good, you don't have to worry about that. But the truth is, you do have to worry about it. So they put it on, so it was Eidus, it fits. So it was a testimony that that he was the king. Those are Rashi's two pshatim. The Mitzudas, in his second pshat, says Eidus is a lashon of Odi, which means a lashon of kishut, of jewelry, of adornments. Which means to say, they put on him the big de hamalucha. They put on the crown, Vesa Eidus, and his adornments, which are the big de hamalucha. He says me'avne yaker, that are made out of precious stones. So those are the three pshatim in Eidus: the Sefer Torah, the crown that's the Eidus, or the big de hamalucha. Vayamlichu esai, vayim shachu, and they anointed him. They anointed him as the king, and now even though you don't have to anoint a melech ben melech, however, because whenever there's a machlokes, so then you anoint the king. So Shlomo HaMelech was anointed because there was machlokes of Adonio. Here there's Athaliah, who's the queen at the moment, and therefore she's not going to stand up for this, so therefore they anointed him as the king.
Because there was
another queen. It wasn't a clear thing. When it's a clear melech ben melech, then you don't have to anoint him. But if there's some type of argument or some type of uncertainty, so then you are Moshe the king. Vayakuchav, and they clapped their hands. Vayomer, and they said, Yechi HaMelech, long live the king, which actually Targum Edison says, Yatzlach Malka. It's a lashon of Hatzlacha. The Melech should be Matzliach. Also, in Malachim Aleph, Perek Aleph, plus the Kulamitet, Chi HaMelech Shlomoi, the Targum says, Yatzlach Malka Shlomoi. So you see, this idea of long live the king probably came from Tanakh, where we would say, Yechi HaMelech, you see, it was a thing to say. However, when we meant Yechi HaMelech, you see clearly from Targum, Yechi is the Lashon of Atzlacha. Now, I'm not saying that there is no one that says Yechi HaMelech means you should live long. I don't see anyone here on the page say that. And over there, by Yechi HaMelech Shlomoi, I also don't see anyone translate it is as long live the king.
Where?
What? Where? Perek Aleph, Malachim Aleph, Pasuk Lametet. This is Yechi HaMelech Shlomoi. There's another place that says Yechi HaMelech David also, that I can't find at the moment. But Batikar Basheva. See there it says Yechi Adoni HaMelech David La'olam. That's a different lashon. And over there on Targum says Yiskayim Ribayni Malka David La'olam. What does that mean? Tirshchai nefesh lo'olam abo. See, David HaMelech was the end of his life there. David HaMelech was the end of his life. You say David HaMelech should live forever. I mean, he's obviously not going to live forever. So there, the Radak says, Tirshchai nefesh lo'olam abo. So that's probably why Targum, he says, Ba'olam hazeh kar ba'olam isa. He was dying, David HaMelech, and he's making Shlomo the king. So it can't mean he should live forever. And the Radak even points out the Chayin Targum Yainasam Yiskayim. Here Targum Yainasam says he should be Miskayim, which means he should exist forever. Now that doesn't mean Vayla Mazeh. The Chol Shar Yechi HaMelech, and the other time it says Yechi HaMelech, the Targum is Yatzlach. So you see the Radak is saying that when we say Yechi HaMelech and we coronate a king, it means he should be Matzliach. That one case by David HaMelech, there, Basheva was saying that David HaMelech should have a kiyum afilu lo'olam haba. It was a different type of bracha. It wasn't the coronation of the king, Yechi HaMelech. When Yechi HaMelech Shlomo, a couple of psukim later, Yatzlach, Yishev Atzlacha. Yechi HaMelech here, Yatzlach. So in the context of Melachim and Klal Yisrael, when we say Yechi HaMelech, it does not mean long live the king. It means the king that should have Hatzlacha was a bracha, that there should be Hatzlacha. Okay. So we made him the king, yeah?
So learn the whole thing. I think was it that I remember, but the Shmuel on that the Melech was really getting the presentation of Hashem, whatever. So like, they were like, certainly like that, like Hashem should have the chiyus through like Melech, like it should like succeed. Like the opposite of the thought that he's bringing Hashem into this world, like our connection.
Batishma Asaya is called Haratinam. Of course, Asaya here is a big commotion going on over here. Batavil on Beit Hashem. Well, the soldiers are there, the Beit HaMikdash, something's going on. So she came to the Beit Hashem, Batera, and she gives a look. The Melech is standing on this platform, special place that was miyuchud for the Melech to stand on. Kamishvat means like the minug, like the minug of the Melachim. There was a special place the Melech stood on the Beis HaMikdash. V'asar v'chatzayt el HaMelech, and she sees all these officers, and she sees the trumpets. V'chol amar tzameach, and everyone's so happy here. V'tekeah v'chatzayt reis. V'atikra asayis v'gadel, she tears her clothing. V'atikra, and she screams, Kesher, 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 Kesher. There's a rebellion. A Kesher is a rebellion. There's a rebellion here. So they told the officers, take her out of the Beis HaMikdash. Lashtera is the same lashon, surround her with soldiers, make a circle around her. And anyone who tries to come and help her to break through the ranks, Hamis Bakara kill. Because Yehuda says, I don't want to kill her here in the Beis HaMikdash. You don't kill her in the Beis HaMikdash. Take her out, take her back to the palace, and you'll kill her there. Yeah?
Throughout the parak, a lot of times it says, sorry, Hamneos is spelled a few different ways, and there's a
Korean exist. Yeah, I don't know. The Radak one time talks about it, but I'm not sure what he says. Maybe the first time, was it Dalit? In Kulam Ashbaz is yeah, he has a pshat there. I don't know if that's what he's talking about. The compulsive dollar, there, that's upstart. Okay, so now Vayosimala Yadayim. Yadayim means they made a place for her. Vata, and they surrounded her. Vata v'derech mevei asusim beis hamelech v'atum hasham. They took her not in the front entrance of the palace. They took her the way that the horses go. Again, the front entrance is a little bit too dangerous because there's her people are there. You take in the back door where the horses go. Their people aren't there. V'atum hasham, and they killed her there. Now, so she's gone, finished. That's the end of Asalia, and now we have Yoyash as the king. So Vayichras Yoyada es habris ben Hashem uvein HaMelech uvein HaAm. Now Yoyada the Kayin, he's in charge of this whole business over here, and he decided to make a bris, a treaty, an agreement between the Melech, the Am, and Hashem. Hashem, HaMelech, HaAm. That the Melech and the Am, meaning the Melech and the Am, Li'o Islam Hashem, are willing to dedicate themselves for the to be an Am Tashem. Not only that, Uveina Melech Uveina Am, and that the people here, we're making a new king, right? Yayada made this new king. All the people are coming now, so the people have to be loyal to the king. That's the bris between Hamelech Ve'Am, and then you're going to have the whole people and the king as a nation should rededicate themselves to Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Atzalia was a Rishanda. She introduced Baal into Klal Yisrael here. Even in the Malchus Yehuda, there was, as you'll see in a moment, there was the Beis HaBaal even here, and therefore we had to rededicate, Klal Yisrael had to rededicate themselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So they made this bris. By Yavoy Kal Amar is Beis HaBaal. They went to the Beis HaBaal, very similar to what Yehu did in Malchus Yisrael. By Yitzutzu, as means Bechaisav, as Slum of Shibru Heitev, they smashed the Mizbeach there and all the idols, they broke up good. There's Matan Kayin Abal, and Matan, who was the Kayin Abal, that was his name. I know a person named Matan. I didn't realize it was such a, not really like the greatest of names. Is there, it was in, whose father's name was Omri? Someone in, one of the politicians in, one was Omri. Omri is also like a biblical name, but really not from not from good source. I don't know, maybe Matan somewhere else got kashered up. But okay, Matan Kain Abal, Hargu Lifnei HaMizbechais, they killed him. Vayotin HaKain Pekudeis HaBeis Hashem. Now, what happened was, it seems, Kol Zman that they were serving Baal, things in the Beit HaMikdash were not in their normal order. So remember, there was a seder to the Beit HaMikdash. There was mishmarais, there were shifts between the Levim and the Kehanim, and it seems from the Pesukim here is where you see it, that Kol Zman they were serving the Baal, things were not in a very good seder. So after they got rid of Baal, Vayotim HaKoyim Pekudos HaBeis Hashem, the Koyim made Pekudos are in order, Memunim. Memunim are people in charge of the Beit Hashem, meaning the Beit HaMikdash, and the Radak says, Kinira, Kimifnei Shehoidim HaBaal, HaMalachim Asher Hoyu, Lifnei Zeh, Loi Nisher Dover Beveit Hashem HaMalchayim Al Sidurai. Things were in disarray in the Beit Hashem. Meaning, Davoidus, I guess, was going on there, but it wasn't in a proper Seder the way it was supposed to be.
Now
they fixed it up. This was all part of their rededication. Remember, Malchus Yehuda was never very involved in Baal and Avodah Zarah as much as Malchus Yisrael when Achaz's daughter came in and things like that. They're ready to give a bit of Ashpa and so on and so forth. But now we got rid of it and they're rededicating themselves back to the Avodah Hashem and to the Avodah Beit HaMikdash. He was young. I don't know. We're going to say soon. He was 7 years old. The next pasuk says, "By Yisma Chalam Aretz." Everyone was happy. Voyer Shakata and everything quieted down. Everything was b'shalva. V'zasal Yehemis Bachar Beitamelech. Like we mentioned before, she was killed before with a sword in the Beit Hamelech. And I think the reason why we mentioned that is because to tell us. Well, the Malbim says, even though it says before, Vatum Hasham, she hadn't really been 100% dead right away. First they hit her, and she became a geisus, which means that she's gonna die very soon, imminently. And then, after they did that, in our pasuk, they took a sword and then they finished her off. Gimel Vav Samach Samach. Geis is a person who is, death is imminent. The halach of a geisus is that any little movement or anything could cause their death, and therefore someone's a geisus is not allowed to be touched. You can't touch him, can't do anything to them. You have to leave them as is. You don't want to hasten their death, and the person could be a retzeh. He's still alive, the person's still alive, and okay, if it's things that are for their own care and their own need, then that's different. It's a very the problem. This is a daily problem in halacha. Daily, like from today, yesterday, and tomorrow, when is the status of geisus begin that these halachas take, start taking effect? It's a very gray area when the status of a geisus actually begins.
What do you mean?
What does it mean? How do you determine if someone is a geisus?
So that's just from when they start to.
No. So, no, that doesn't necessarily mean that they're at the status of a geisus that any movement could kill them. Right?
You can't. Like if they would be like a caretaker or something.
Right, so there's very serious halachas when it comes to very complicated, intricate halachas and these things. Yeah?
Her people didn't do anything
about it? I guess we're too afraid of the Yoda Kayan, and deep down Kleisel and Machaz Yehuda were much more dedicated to Tyra, and therefore you ignite the fire, and it seems doesn't seem that it was such a big problem. Ben Sheva Shanim Yehoyash B'Molchai. Now you notice his name just became Yehoyash. Till now he was Yehoyash, and now he became Yehoyash. Chazal tell us that once he became the Melech and dedicated to Hashem, he got extra hay in his name, so now he has the name of Hashem, Yud Kei, and even Vav for that matter, in his name, so he comes Yehoyash. At the same time, Chazal also tell us Yehoyash is a Lashon of Yush. Because he was really the last remnant of Malchus Beis David. It was almost, and at that point the truth is no one really knew he was around, so Malchus Beis David was almost forsaken. Yish is he give up hope, there's almost no hope. See, so till he became the king, it was like Yush. It was like a hopeless situation. Once he became the king, he came now, got the Shem Hashem in his name, and he lost the name. You don't want him to be, his name should be hopeless, right? You want his name to be something else. So therefore, he got a hay in his name.
So the first reason is because he's a Melech?
Because he's a Melech, he dedicated himself to Hashem, so he gets the Shem Hashem. Bishna Sheva Liyehu Malach Yehoyash. Now, to contrast it to the kings from where Malchi Yisrael, where we were before, in the seventh year of Yehu, Yehoyash became king. Barboim Shana Malach Birshalayim. He was king for 40 years. Vashemim was Sivya mi Beersheva. His mother was Sivya from Beersheva. Vayas Yehoyash Hayasha Bene Hashem Kol Yamav. Asher Hayro Yehoyada Kain. Yehoyash followed Hashem Kol Yamav almost all of his days. It was only Kol Yamav all of the days. Asher Hayra Yehoyada Kayan. That Yehoyada Kayan was teaching him what to do. It wasn't Kol Yamav, even though there's a snafta pause under Kol Yamav, you should run through the stop sign. It was, how long was he doing Yashar Bein Hashem? Kol Yamav Asher Hayra Yehoyada Kayan. But Chazal tell us, after Yehoyada Kayan died, so then he started doing things incorrectly. Now this story, as we're going to see, especially this parak, everything, most of this stuff is repeated in Divrei Hayamim, Divrei Hayamim Beis. Divrei Hayamim Beis, Divrei Hayamim was written by Ezra, Malachim was written by Yirmiyahu. They wrote different things and different details of the stories. Sometimes you put the stories together and you get more details. So over there, the lashon is. I didn't do it a whole time. Sometimes we spoke about it. Rashi sometimes brought it. But you'll see in a minute why we're going to look in Divrei Hayamim. But over there, the Lashon is, Bayas Yoyash Hayashar Ben Yashem Kol Yimei Yehoyada HaKayin. It says clearly there, only all the days of Yehoyada HaKayin. What happens really is, here in Malachim, Yirmiyahu HaNavi, when he wrote Malachim, he was very worried about the kavod of Malchus Beis Dovid, and therefore anything that the Malchus Yehuda did that were too off, he wrote very much Beremiza. We've had it other times also. He wrote very much Beremiza. That's the handout, that photocopies that gave it to Divrei Hayamim. Over there also was the same thing. He wrote all about this Malachim over there, how bad he was and what terrible things. And Malachim, and over here in Malachim, it didn't say much. And the reason is because over here, which is in Malachim, Yirmiyahu was worried for the covet of Malchus Beis David, and therefore he wrote it like that. Ezra Seifer, he was writing the history and what happened, so he wrote the details a little bit more. So you see clearly when it says here, Kol Yamav Asher Hayroi Yehoyada HaKayin, that it's a remnant to tell you that it wasn't all his days, it was only Kol Zman Asher Hayroi Yehoyada HaKayin. Now, the Malvim explains that there's a difference between Hayra'a and Limud. Hayra means like you show someone something. You teach them, you show them. Limud is when they learn something. Because you could guide someone and teach them, but if they don't have you, they're lost. Because they don't have you telling them where to go. If they learn from you, then they learn that even when the person is not there anymore, how to make the decisions themselves. So the pasuk here clearly says, Asher Hayrahu Yehoyada HaKayin. Yehoyada HaKayin was Hayra. He navigated him. He taught him. He showed him where to go. But he never really taught him. He never learned. Yayash, I don't know whose fault it was here, but Yayash never learned from Yehoyada HaKayin. So what happens the minute Yehoyada HaKayin dies? He has no one telling him where to go, and he never learned it. He can't make the decisions on his own, so therefore, he goes off of the derech. That's what the problem is, why the pasuk specifically says, Asher Hayrahu Yehoyada HaKayin. He was Hayra, he showed him the way. But Yayash never really learned to be able to do it on his own. Now what happens? Rashi tells us that after Yehoyada died, the Sari Yehuda came and they made him into like a god. They made him Eliha. You have to know what this means here exactly. We're talking about a person who, it says here, he went to Yashar Bein Hashem, he had a Rebbe, then his Rebbe dies, all of a sudden he thinks he's God. It sounds a little funny. But obviously that they attributed too much to him. And therefore that made him a little bit too much of himself, and that led him astray. Why did they make him a god? What? Right. Why? Because they said, "Hanichnas leveis kodesh hakadoshim shalachas mesukan lamos." If someone who's not supposed to be in the kodesh hakadoshim walks in for a moment, he's probably going to die very quickly. And you were there for 6 years. 6 years you stayed in the kodesh hakadoshim. So for sure you must be like a malach. And therefore, he took it unfortunately to heart, and he started attributing a little bit too much to himself, and he strayed a little bit from the derech. Now the difference is he really didn't hide in the kodesh hakadoshim. He was in the attic over the kodesh hakadoshim, which is not the same kedusha as the kodesh hakadoshim. So therefore, you can't really compare the two. But that's what they said.
The Tsarim,
yeah. And because of that, once they started, you know, attributing too much to him, so it ended up that Klai Yisrael went back to serving Avodah Zarah over there in, we'll see in a moment, but over there in the Rayam, and it says, Vachre Maisi Hayada, Bo'u, so it doesn't say it yet, Bo'u Tsari Yehuda Vaishtachavu Lamelech. They bowed down to the king. Why they bowed down to him? Because they said they made him into a god, like Rashi said. And they convinced him that they're going to listen to everything he says because he is like a god. And they convinced him that they should convince people to start serving Avodah Zarah again. How exactly it worked, I don't know. But that's what happened. It says, "Vayazu Beis Hashem l'kavitayim." They once again strayed from Beis Hashem. "Vayazu Tasherim esoatabim," and they started serving Avodah Zarah. And we'll see. It's going to be a ketzef al Yehuda. It's going to be Hashem is going to be angry. We still have another story to do before we get to that. But that's what happened after Yehoyada died. The pasuk speaks about it here. That this is what happened after Yehoyada Hakayin died. Now. And Pasuk Dalet, back to our story, Rak Habomas Leisaru Oidam Mizavchim Mekashim Babomas. This is something it seems that they were never able to get rid of. The Klai Yisrael should be bring karbanas on their own private mizbechais even after they got rid of the Baal. And here, see, I told you that Yehoyada had died. That's because it was Merumas and Pasuk Gimel. But Pasuk Dalet, hey, till after the next story, Yehoyada is still alive. Yahyash is the king. He's doing everything properly. He's doing Ayosher Beinei Hashem. He got rid of the Baals. No Avodah Zarah. Bamais in Klai Yisrael still existed. Klai Yisrael wanted to bring Karbanis. They made a bum in their backyard, a Mizbech in their backyard, and they brought it. Now, there was a Tzkufa in our history that you were allowed to do that, when there was no Beis HaMikdash. So then Hashem allowed, a person wants to bring a Karban, you're allowed to make a Bama, which means a small Mizbech in your backyard, and bring a Karban. But once the Beis HaMikdash is built, you're not allowed to. You want to bring a carbon, you go up to the Beis Hashem. You go to the Beis HaMikdash. But this was something that they were not able to get rid of from Klai Yisrael. The Meshech Chachma in the Haftarah of Parshas, I guess it's Kisisa, which was a couple weeks ago, which is a very rare Haftarah to read, because usually Parshas Kisisa is Parshas Parah. And you read Haftarah Parshas Parah, but this year, because Rosh Chodesh is Shabbos, so Parshas Parah got moved off a week. And we read the Haftarah of Eliyahu Har HaKarmel. Eliyahu Har HaKarmel. The Meshech Chachma says, there was such a Galus Ashkina, and that Mizbeach, Eliyahu Har HaKarmel, that from then and on, now, even though the Mizbeach, the Beis HaMikdash, was built, right? And there was this Galus Ashkina and a Mizbeach outside of the Beis HaMikdash. That caused, says the Meshech Chachma, that for the hundreds of years afterwards of Malchi Yisrael, they can never, even Malchi Yehuda, of all the Malchus, they can never get rid of Bamas and Klai Yisrael. Once there was such a Galus Ashkina on a Mizbeach outside the Beis HaMikdash, Klai Yisrael was never able to come to terms with the idea that you can't build your own Mizbeach and bring a Karban to Hashem. Look, Eliyahu Bar HaKarmel, he brought a Mizbeach. Okay, it was a Hira Ashah, that's the truth. But Hashem, an Eish fell down from Hashem. It says, "Vatipol Eish midifnei Hashem." An Eish fell down midifnei Hashem, and there was a Skalas Hashchina. And because of that, all the Doiras, they were never, if even when they were able to get rid of Avodah Zarah, but building a Bama and sacrificing to Hashem, because of that story, they were never able to get rid of. And I think it says, there's a Meshe Chachma. I think it's here. Batipol Eish Hashem, it says. Yeah, he says, Lochein Lodaiti, he says, my opinion is, Lohayu Bikayak Shamalchi Yehuda Tzadikim, Kimay Asa, Yoishapot, Yoisam, Limnoya Sam, Lizbayach Vivamis Lashem Shamayim, Kevin Sharoam Shashar Tashkin of Hara Karmel. A bad result, so to speak, of Ashar Tashkin and Hara Karmel was, when Klai Yisrael saw Ashar Tashkin outside the Beis HaMikdash, they couldn't come to terms with the fact, they understood you can't serve Avodah Zarah, but to serve Hashem on your own private Bama, Eliyahu Bar HaKarmel did it, and a fire came up from Hashem. Now, when's the last time a fire came up from Hashem? Before Eliyahu Bar HaKarmel? What? A little later than that. Shlomo HaMelech, when he built the Beis HaMikdash. And the karbanos that he brought on the Beis HaMikdash. So the same is got, and in fact, the Meshech Chachma even says that it doesn't say here by Eliyahu Vateitzei Eish Milifnei Hashem. It says Vatipol Eish Hashem. The Eish Hashem fell down. So he says, because really this Eish was a piece of the Eish from the days of Shlomo HaMelech. It was the same fire. It wasn't nothing new.
Was it
a similar one. Hakavana the Gachelet that came down in the days of Shlomo HaMelech. Umizeh ha'Eish shelamaylo hayomunach al mizbeach Hashem im mei Shlomoi. The Eish that was in Shemayim, there's a Beis HaMikdash in Shemayim, came down onto the Mizbeach of Shlomoi. From that same Eish, it wasn't a new Eish, but people, it fell down onto Har HaKarmel. So the same is Gal, or very similar is Gal as Hashchina. That it says by Shlomo HaMelech and his Beis HaMikdash have my Har HaKarmel. So Klai Yisrael looked at that, and it was finished. They could not come to the understanding that you can't bring to Hashem, even though everyone's screaming, it's their bummus, you're not allowed to. But that was the Rishon it had on Klai Yisrael. Right, it doesn't say, it's interesting, Malachim, it doesn't say that when Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash, a fire came out, only a Divrei Hayamim, another difference. Meshech Chachma explains why. I won't go into that. But this is that same Eish Hashem. But people, Eish Hashem, that Eish Hashem fell down. So that is why you see over here it says, Abomas Leisaru Oida Am Mizabdu Mekachim Babomas. That was something that even the biggest tzaddikim, as we'll see hopefully through the end of Malacha Beis here, the biggest tzaddikim couldn't get rid of the Bomas. There was just one thing, it was like impossible to get rid of. Yeah?
I thought
one time it came down, it stayed there forever.
Yeah.
Came down in Parsha Shemini on the Mishkan. It stayed there stayed on the Mizbeach there till Shlomo HaMelech stayed that Mizbeach, and that Eish stayed there till whenever it stayed there, till the Korban, whatever it was. Yeah. Okay. Vayomer Yehoyash Elakanim. Kol Kesev HaKadshim Asher Yuvah Beis Hashem. Now, this story that we're going to see now in Perek Beis repeats itself in Divrei Hayomim Beis Perek Chaf Dalet with a couple of differences to it. And if you have a Malbim Navi, you'll see on the bottom in Malachim here, he actually quotes most of the Pesukim from Divrei Hayomim because he has a problem that if you really follow the stories, they don't seem to be the same story. And in fact, he says they were not the same story, even though they look very similar to each other. But the story is as follows. Vayomer Yehoyash Elakanim, Kol Kesev HaKadshim Asher Yuvah Beis Hashem. All the Kesev of Kadshim that comes to the Beis HaMikdash. Now, what is that money we're talking about? Kesef Oiver. One of them is Kesef Oiver. What's Kesef Oiver? That's the shkolim that has to be sent by Chrysal to the Beis HaMikdash every year. What does it say in Parsha Shkolim? L'chol ha'oiver al ha'pkudim. Kol ha'oiver. So that's why it's called Kesef Oiver. There is a halacha every year. Klai Yisrael had to send a machzis ha'shekel to the Beis HaMikdash. Rosh Chodesh Adar, that's why we learn Parsha Shkolim, the Shabbos before Rosh Chodesh Adar, is because Rosh Chodesh Adar, they would start sending out messengers to all of Eretz Yisrael to start collecting shkolim. What were they shkolim for? Because in the Beis HaMikdash, there are karbonis tzibur. Every day, there are communal karbonis that are brought by the tzibur, the whole of Klai Yisrael. The karbonis tamid in the morning and the afternoon. If it's Shabbos or Yom Tov, there's karbonis Rosh Chodesh, there's Musaf. There are karbonis tzibur. There's the Omer, the Alechem, there's karbonis tzibur. Sukkot is Yom Tov. Every Yom Tov has their own karbonis. So what makes it a communal carbon? What do I have to do with the carbon? I live in Tzfat. What do I have to do with the carbon in the Beit HaMikdash? So Klal Yisrael sends half a shekel, every person sends a half a shekel into the Beit HaMikdash, and it goes into a big box, and from that box, they use that money to buy carbonas every day, carbon atal and carbon amusuf. Now, it does just because today they got my shekel, and tomorrow they got your shekel. It doesn't mean today is my carbon talmid, tomorrow is your carbon talmid. Once it goes in the back, it becomes communal funds, and it's as if every person in Klal Yisrael has a chelik in the karbanas tzibur. Now, even if your shekel didn't make it on time, there were certain times in the year that they would. What happens is the money would come in and go into a place. It's a big room, all the money. And then Rosh Chodesh Nisan, they would go there. Rosh Chodesh Nisan is the new year. And they would take out a big box full of shkolim, and they would start using those shkolim. Meanwhile, new shkolim are still coming. Not everyone got it on time. Going into that room. Three times a year, they would take shkolim out of the room, and that's what the money that was used for the karbanos. Usually, there was a surplus at the end of the year, and that went to the upkeep of the Beit HaMikdash. You can't use last year's shkolim for this year's karbanos. So there was always shkolim coming in. Now, that means to say, even though I haven't sent in my shekel yet, since I'm going to send in a shekel, I'm part of the karbanas tzibur no matter what it is. So he said like this, kesef oiver, all the kesef of the shkolim. Not only that, each kesef nafshes erkoi. There's also a parsha in the Torah, and parshas b'chukaisai, called erichin, erkoi. That means to say, the Torah gave values to people, set values. There's two ways you could determine how much a person is worth. And depending on what type of vow you made to the Beit HaMikdash is how much money you have to pay. If you say the erech, the value, the set value of a person, I want to give that to the Beit HaMikdash, so let's say I say my own value. So, I'm between the ages of 20 and 60, I look in the Torah, 20 and 60, it's 50 shkolim. So it says, so if I say I want to give my erech, my said value, I take 50 shkolim, I send it to the Beit HaMikdash. If I say I want to give your erech, so you're between the ages of whatever, I'll look in the Torah, and if you're a man and lady, there's different amounts, depending on what your age is and who you are, so I'll follow what the Torah says and send it in. It's a set value. It makes no difference if I'm a strong person, I'm a weak person, someone has a mum, it makes no difference. The Torah gave a set value depending on age. That's one way. And that's what we're talking about here. Ish kesef napshes erkoi. If a person says how much he's going to give as an erech, that's what's going to go to the Beit HaMikdash. We're referring to that money too. Two money so far. The kesef shkolim and the kesef erechim. Just derech agav. The other way is if I say I want to give your value, or my value, not the erech. I want to give my shavius, my domim, how much I'm actually worth. So then you go take me to the marketplace. And you see how much I'm able to be sold as a slave, and that's how much my value is. And that depends on how strong the person is, how weak the person is, how old the person is, there's all different amounts. And then that's how much I have to send into the Beis HaMikdash. But here we're referring to the Erechim, which is the said value. One second. And the third thing is, Kol Kesef Asher Yala Levish Lahavi Beis Hashem. Any money that a person goes up on the heart of a person to bring to the Beis Hashem, which is people throughout the year want to donate money to the Beit Hashem, to the upkeep of the Beit HaKabayis, of the Beit HaMikdash. These are the three monies we are referring to that he wants to now use. Yayesh wants to use this. He's going to use it for the Badek Habayis. Badek Habayis means the upkeep of the Beit HaMikdash. As we'll see, tomorrow, we'll see that during the days of Asalya, the Beit HaMikdash totally went to disarray. There were holes in the wall. Exactly how it happened, I don't know. But what she did in the couple of years she was Malka, was something that didn't happen in many years. And the reason is, if you make a cheshbon, it was only, I'll have to look at the Malvin Dech cheshbon, it was only 150 some years since the Beit HaMikdash was built. Now from here, until the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, 200 odd years later, 300 years later, whatever it was, he never needed to do this again. Come out one more time, hundreds of years later perhaps. And you see the Beit HaMikdash, it kept the flow going. There was no problem. But here, Asalya, in her days, not only, I guess we saw before, the shifts in the Beit HaMikdash weren't done well, things were just left and no one took care of things, and it was really, needed a lot of improvements. Besides the day-to-day running, it needed physical improvements, and Yayesh is trying now to get money to make these physical improvements, and he is telling the Kehanim, all of these monies, yitchu lahem akayanim ismakare. He wants the kayanim to go around to their friends and get any of these money, whether it's the shkolim, the erech, or any money they want to donate. Then yichazku is bedek habayis, and the kayanim should take that money, and they should go, and they should renovate the bedek habayis, the kol asher yimtza shom bedek, anything that needs to be renovated, they should take care of, and we will see tomorrow what happens. Yeah.
Question. One, so third one is
anybody
that a person just decides to
also
donate.
Right, so the
Badakabai,
right.
Okay, and there's a set
amount
for
it. No, whatever you want.
And then for the what is the era,
no one has to do it. If a person decides to do it, that was a way of giving money to the Beit HaMikdash. Right. Well, it depends what they said. If they said, I want to give my worth, they have to give their worth. If I said, I want to give your worth, so I look what your eruv is in the Torah. I can do it either way. It's just a way of saying an amount. So the Torah said, I'm worth 50, you're worth 30, right? So instead of saying those numbers, I say whatever my eruv is, or I say whatever your eruv is, and then I look up to see, well, now how much do I have to give?
What's the difference between that and
what?
What's that between that one and the one
that's the market? That's the value, how much we sold to the slave. It's a different value. It's not a set amount that the Torah gave. That's selling in the market. Selling the market, it's always. You have two people are the same age, right? One of them is very weak and sick. Who's going to pay money for him?
What about the one you said it doesn't matter if he's strong, weak?
That's the Torah.
The Torah was like, it's just totally an issue. A man who's 40 and very strong, and a man who's 20 and not so strong, they're the same
error. So if he says Erki or Erkika or Erka or Erkai, whatever it is, it's the set value of whoever is the object of it.
According to the
Torah. And then, if you say dumb of, the value, the Shavuot, that's the both dependent on what the marketplace is saying.
Okay. Thank you.